You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I am your host, Matt Brady, otherwise known on the internet as Super Gains Bros, joined once again by the Age of Retro, Kyle. How are we doing today, man?
Doing great. Back again. I can't, what is this, the fourth?
It's like four or five, yeah.
We're crazy.
We're cranking them out.
Co-host.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much. I mean, I'm down. We could make this a regular occurrence here.
I'm down.
Yeah, man, Switch 2, it's here. We have thoughts. I almost wanted to like hit you up like right once it came out, but I was like, nah, I had some stuff going on. I was like, we'll wait a bit. So now we're about a month in. So I think that's also a good thing. So now we're a month into Switch 2. So we can talk about, now that we've had it for a month, what do we think? And we got to send the Switch 1 off, right? Because it
honorable salute.
You've done a good job. The Switch 1 was fantastic. It was an absolutely fantastic device. But man, there's some negativity around the Switch 2. We're going to talk a little bit about that because I think you and I are both kind of more on the opposite page where we freaking love it. And yeah, some other stuff. But before we begin, man, first of all, how are you doing? How is Death Stranding 2, by the way? Because you are, I think, in the addiction stage of that.
I am. I can't remember the last... I'm on vacation this week, and I can't remember the last time I sat down and played a game for like 9 hours.
Yeah.
In a sitting session. Kojima has that effect on me. I was not anticipating I didn't have the excitement for this game. I was like, we'll see. But then release came, and I'm like, I'm getting it. And the reviews started piling up. Not that I, rely heavily on reviews. But one of the reviewers that I read from IGN was actually pretty good in resonating with some of the games that I like, which I think is key when you're listening to a reviewer. You need to know the context of their games, what they favor, if they enjoyed the first one. And this guy did. He said if he actually reviewed the first one, he would have rated it a lot higher than it was. I think it was like a 6.8 on IGN. And even then, I didn't care. It's Kojima. He's a genius. He is absolutely stunning.
That's what the logo of this podcast is,
Yeah, he's the man. He's done it. I'm having such a good time with it. It's like his balance between horror, absolute horror, and beauty, and just chilling. It's unmatched. You can't find a game like it out there.
Yeah, see, I never played Death Stranding 1. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, I'm an enormous Kojima fan. I love Metal Gear. I mean, it's right. Metal Gear and Zelda are my two favorite franchises ever. I loved Metal Gear Solid 5, which was his last entry into it. And then, I don't know, Death Stranding came out, and I looked at it, and I was like, I don't know, man. Maybe now that I was like, I didn't necessarily doubt Kojima, but I was like, maybe now that he's just got his own studio and do whatever he wants, like, this might be, like, too weird. So... Did you play Death Stranding 1? What did you think? You think I should totally play both?
I think you should play both. There's a lot of context in the first game that you might not get in the second, right? There's so many drawbacks to the initial game. It can be a slog at times, but the story is wonderful. It is a bit of Metal Gear meets Stranger Things.
Okay.
Like dialed up a lot. Like it's just weird.
So it's to me, I was like, this feels of all of his stuff, this feels like Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
Like, because Metal Gear Solid 4 had, had all the female bosses that were, you start getting like real kind of weird and creepy with it.
Well, it's less creepy, more ramped up on the weird. Like I said, Kojima, he is a master at this craft, and he's blending film and gaming, and he's just kind of merging them into a single experience. I don't think anyone's doing it like him.
Okay. Well, right now I started watching, and I've never seen it, and I know this is weird, but I've never seen 24. And my wife and I are like,
yep.
You know, we go back and forth between like a serious show or like comedy and sort of like drama. You have to. Right. And so we did like The Pit, which was our kind of serious show because we both work in healthcare. And so we're like, oh, man, that was great. And then, you know, before that, we did like Scrubs, which we go to a lot. You know, that's kind of our regular rotation kind of comedy show. And we're thinking about redoing Ted Lasso. But right now we're on a serious show. And so we're like, you know, I've never watched 24, but I've always heard it was good. And it's got Kiefer Sutherland. Right. And, you know, for Metal Gear, solid five. Gear. And so all now as we're watching it, I've never seen it. All I can think is like, God, I want to replay Metal Gear Solid 5, you know, because it's just like hearing him, you know, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I just want to replay Metal Gear Solid. So maybe I should just play Death Stranding instead.
Death Stranding is Metal Gear 6. Like, there's so much. There's so many callbacks to Metal Gear. It's uncanny.
OK,
honestly. Wow. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
It's if gorgeous. You like, I mean, like the shot you shared, I saw a bunch of other people share where I don't know what's going on, but you're walking through something and there's all these like lights and everything. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely stretching gaming, I think.
Yeah, you're playing on PC? Depth.
I'm playing on PS5.
PS5.
So I'm so thrilled. I know we're talking about Switch, but I actually put the Switch down. I didn't expect it.
Yeah.
And I'm actually playing and enjoying my PS5.
So. Okay, cool. Yeah, well, there's a bunch of sales going on. Did you pick anything? Have you picked like the digital sales, like Steam sales going on right now, PlayStation?
It is the summer sale. I did take a look. I didn't see anything that I don't already have or would want to play right now. I can see myself getting a game and then just like losing track of it, you know.
I picked up Hades, and I've never played it. Have you played Hades?
I did.
Oh my God. And I'm playing actually because it's one, like, because I have a MacBook. I have a PC, but it's like technically it's a handheld. It's the ROG Ally with the external graphics card. So it's kind of really turned into my desktop, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really unplug it nearly as much as I thought I would. But Hades is on Mac. And so I was like, oh, perfect. And it has cross save with Switch. But the physical version is like $70. And I was like, I'm just going to buy the digital version because I feel like it's a game I would play a lot. And so, oh my God, it is fantastic. And it looks absolutely freaking stunning on my MacBook Pro screen with like the mini LED and everything. Like, I'm like, this game is gorgeous, to say the least. And oh my God, I am like so disappointed I didn't play this earlier. But Hades 2 is coming on Switch too.
Yep.
And I have it. I bought the PC version of it. It also has cross save.
Nice.
You can cross save from your Switch to your Mac to my gaming PC, and so it's freaking awesome,
right?
And oh my God, I cannot believe I did not play this game sooner. It is amazing. I'm loving every minute.
If you love Diablo, if you love that, it's got a very good art style, I think, too, in Hades. It's just an enjoyable pick up and play for a little bit, put down.
Oh, and I'm a history guy. Right. I mean, my bachelor's is in history. So I'm like, Greek mythology. Oh, loving it. Absolutely. Yeah. Loving Hades. But I picked up that. I picked up a couple other games. I picked up like Crow Country. I haven't touched it yet, but it's one I've really wanted to play because that's got that old school PS1 kind of vibe. And I did want to share this with you because I posted it on like Threads and stuff, but I'm still doing a ton of N64 collecting because, as of right now, the analog 3D N64 analog is kind of known to push things back, but they haven't. And actually, I'm in the Reddit and some people posted and they said, hey, you know, whatever, it's still supposed to be coming. But I've been stocking up on N64 games. I've bought like 40. I'm just going nuts. Yeah. Wow. So I went onto Etsy and I found some guy who makes custom shells. So it is actually an original cart. It's not a repro cart. The actual board is original. And I already have Ocarina of Time, so I didn't get it. So I got Majora's Mask, and it is a custom Majora's Mask board. Or it's an official board, but it's like colored. It's just like this green shell, and he does it in purple, and he does other N64 games too. He does like Super Mario 64 and stuff like that. But oh my God, that doesn't really do it justice. But oh, and it's got this like artwork in there. It's freaking gorgeous.
It looks sweet.
Yeah, it was like $100. So I'm hoping it's, you know, really, yeah. But it's super cool. So I did that. Yeah, have you done any physical pickups lately?
Or? Not really.
Switch 2.
Just Street Fighter 6 I picked up for
Yeah. Are you liking that?
Very fun. Not as fun as Mario Kart or
right.
I jumped into Zelda. We can talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing retro.
That's okay. Hey, that's cool. What let's dive in. Switch 2, man. We're a month into Switch 2 now. What do you think?
I love it. Official. Same. Love it. Getting it on I do have to talk about my experience getting it.
Sure.
Pre-ordered through Walmart, you know, the craziness of that, site's going down. Walmart came in probably at midnight. They let me get in line online, and finally I queued in probably at 12:30, got it, and I didn't hear anything. So I was worried that I would get canceled or something. And then finally, like the day before, they were going to deliver on that Thursday, I got notification that it was ready to go by 7:30 in the morning. I woke up, it was delivered in a Walmart bag with chips.
I saw that.
Yep. And a Coke.
Yeah. And I saw all the Walmart people got the, that was so cool.
Such an extra like cherry on top, but what an amazing experience through Walmart. They did a really good job.
Yeah. I did Best Buy and I got mine the day after, and I was real nervous because I was, I got it and it was shipping from some company I've never even heard of. It's called like OnTrack. And you go and you look it up, and it's like nothing but, I mean, horror stories.
Really?
Oh, like people like, oh, they steal your stuff, you'll get it late. And I was like, oh God. So I look up the one in like my local area, and it's like a one star like thing. But then I kind of thought about it a little more. I was like, it's not like people really go and like positively review those type of places.
Right.
Right.
They rate the bad ones.
Yeah. They only rate the bad ones. So I was like, I need to give it some grain of salt. And I was pretty fortunate, got it the next day, no issues whatsoever, but I was definitely nervous. But they definitely gave you like a delivery window of like, you know, like 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it's like, okay. So I ended up getting around 2 o'clock and perfect. And I got the bundle. So I got Mario Kart, digitally, but yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think? I mean, just in general, what do you think of the device itself?
Quality. It is definitely an upgrade. When you're playing Mario Kart and you see all of the textures and just lighting, it's such an increase in performance and just beauty. I think it was just a beautiful, colorful game.
I think holding it too. The one thing I've like nobody talked about, like everyone was talking, focusing on the magnets, which I did like once and I was like, okay, this is cool. It does feel way more sturdy when you're playing in handheld. You don't really have that flex that you have on the Switch 1, which I'd never particularly liked. And then I actually ended up not even using. Oh, I actually have it here. So I ended up, I don't have my Switch, but I ended up using like one of these for my Switch 1. Yeah, which I thought was a big improvement. But of course, you couldn't dock it. So you kind of had that going on. But just holding it in handheld, I think it's fantastic.
Feels amazing.
The screen is way bigger. It's bigger than my ROG Ally, which is but they kept the same thinness. But man, the Joy-Cons, they feel great. Whatever they did, they're a little bit bigger. And, you know, like, I think there's a little more like rubber around it. I don't know if we'll have drift or not. It's still pretty early. I've seen some people say that they already are. But they feel way more premium than Switch 1 Joy-Cons.
It does. It feels great in hand. And it's got a good weight. I do appreciate the size. I think the size increase is definitely improved. It feels a lot better. I know some people don't like the fact that it's not OLED. I'm fine with that. You're not going to get the performance with OLED. So it's
I'll be honest with you. I'm going to push back hard on the OLED thing. And I've been doing a lot of diving into like screen quality, screen textures and all that stuff. I'll be honest with you. I think OLED in general is overrated. Like because I don't know. I have a MacBook with a mini LED and I've looked at it side by side with like the iPad and all this stuff. And I mean, there's definitely a difference between like standard LCD and like either mini LED or OLED. But I don't think it's really like a top down thing as much as it is like pick your path.
Right.
Because when you really dive into it and you look at it like mini LED versus OLED, it, I think it comes down much more to like, which do you prefer? Mm-hmm. Do you prefer like having more bright colors, but maybe you don't have the same saturation that you have with OLED as opposed to mini LED? And, you know, that's a whole big dive into it. But I don't know. I think the HDR on the Switch 2 screen, like when you look at it, I mean, I pulled it up, you know, both things to look at them side by side, and it doesn't look that difference, especially on that small of a screen. I mean, right. It's definitely, it's a way bigger difference if you're, when you're talking TVs, but when you're talking like a 7-inch screen, I don't think it's really that big of a difference, man. Like,
I agree.
I think people are blowing it way out of proportion.
I agree. Unless you're in a pitch black room, you're not going to notice.
Yeah.
If you're outside, OLED is good outside. You're still going to, I mean, but who's playing outside that much?
Right.
I don't know.
And to me, the biggest advantage of the Switch 2 screen is variable refresh rate. Like, yep. That's the biggest game changer. Cause when you play on a screen that doesn't have it versus a screen that does, you notice it immediately.
Right.
And it's actually why Asus, who's partnering with Xbox, they make the ROG Ally, and they're partnering with Xbox on to rebrand their ROG Allies into like Xbox Ones, you know, coming out later this year. They even said the reason they're not going OLED on those is because it's hard. There's just not a lot of manufacturers making OLED variable refresh rate. And they said, we want the VRR more than we want the OLED. And I 100% agree, because it is an enormous difference.
And what's that going to do to the price?
Exactly. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's going to jack that price up another $100 to have an
right.
OLED.
And with tariffs right now, I mean, Canada just said like yesterday, they have to raise the price of regular Switch Ones because of, you know, tariffs. Microsoft and Xbox both up. This is the first time we've ever seen this. Normally, right. A console generation, the price goes down. They right. said, nah, we got to raise it. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. I love the device itself. I think it just holding it, it is fantastic. The speakers are way better than they are on the Switch.
Absolutely.
Not that I felt that the Switch 1 speakers were bad, but I mean, it definitely feels more premium. Having the charger on both sides, like the bottom and the top, huge advantage. The only thing I don't like is the HDR on the screen itself is good, but the HDR, Nintendo needs to put an update out for that, because the HDR on like the TVs is not particularly great.
Yep.
I'm
kind of on the team of I wish they did a new interface for the Same. Home screen. Not that it's bad, but get a new console, you get that new, like between Xbox 360 and Xbox One, like it was a big jump.
Yeah.
In the interface. And I do appreciate them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like PlayStation 2, you know, they went, PlayStation 4 had themes. PlayStation 5 doesn't really have it. And then they kind of brought it back there with the, like, hey, when you turn on the loading screen, you can pick which like classic one you want there. Yeah. I mean, Nintendo, seriously, just give us themes. I really don't understand why they haven't. I mean, they could sell them. If you added like a theme into like every game you bought, like, oh, hey, if you buy,
right.
You know, when you buy the new when you buy Metroid Prime 4, you get a Metroid Prime 4 theme. Like, that seems like a no-brainer to me. Like, that, like, is a very, I mean, basically free way of you to increase sales potentially.
Yeah. Nintendo, if you're listening, we want themes.
We want themes. People have been calling it forever, but I think that'd be the cool way to do it. Just include it with whatever game you buy. Okay. So you bought what? So you got Mario Kart and you got Street Fighter.
Yes.
Okay. What are you thinking so far?
I love Mario Kart. And then I'm like, let me test out some of these upgrades, right?
Like the remasters, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the expansion pass through Nintendo, but I ended up getting it because Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom was $10 each. So I'm like, if I spend an extra $10, I'll get GameCube as well. So I did it. And I played around with Odyssey, I played around with Zelda, and then I realized that Tears of the Kingdom, I kind of abandoned.
Yeah.
I left it. I don't know why. I think it was vacation. I think a vacation came, knocked me out of the game. I didn't pick it back up, but I picked it back up, and man, is it gorgeous.
It's fantastic.
It is gorgeous, and there's no frame drops. And I finished it. I probably put another 20 hours into it, and I'm so glad I did. I don't know if I would have picked it up otherwise.
Yeah, I'm with you in the same boat. Tears of the Kingdom for me. I mean, I got into it and I made a ton of content for it. And so I did like the depths like first, because that was like one of the things everyone was looking for. So I didn't really play it in the way of like, I want to sit down and play it. I played it because I was like making TikTok and YouTube content, which thankfully has actually done really well for me. So, you know, at the long game, it was worth it. But I didn't really get to sit down and play it as a Zelda fan like I did Breath of the Wild. Right. And so I always kind of felt like, man, I didn't like Tears of the Kingdom as much as I like Breath of the Wild. But diving back into it now, I don't know, I might be in the other camp. I think I might be starting to think Tears of the Kingdom might be the better game. But it's almost like I kind of want to restart it. You know, same way I feel with Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is I got to almost the end. I basically got to like the Elite Four and kind of abandoned Pokemon Scarlet because something else came out and I just kind of got, or Violet, I should say. And I just kind of got bored with it and it wasn't running particularly great. But my God, it's like a totally different game.
It is.
It feels like of all of the Switch 1 games that got updates, like the official Nintendo ones, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet feels to me the most. It feels like a completely different game.
Right. I think I have a deep love for Breath of the Wild because
I do too.
They broke ground with that game. It's the foundation of what Tears of the Kingdom. It's easy to add on to that. And there's just some things about Tears of the Kingdom that I found cumbersome, like the building. I'm not crazy into that. And the depths. Again, when I went back and replayed it, I didn't go back down there unless I had to. Yeah. I did explore a lot when I first played through, but I feel like that also kind of burned me out. There's so much to explore in that game.
Yeah. It's such a bigger game. Yeah. And I mean, maybe I'll feel the same way. And maybe I'm just right now, I'm like a little more excited about Tears of the Kingdom. Cause I played Breath of the Wild. I bought it on Wii U cause I didn't buy a Switch until Odyssey came out. And so I played it on Wii U, did everything, then played it again that year for Christmas. When I bought the Switch, I was like, now I'm gonna play it again on Switch, and same thing, totally. And then I replayed it like again when Tears of the Kingdom was getting ready to come out. So I just have like, I have like easily 1,000 hours in that game. And so I'm so, it's just so into it. But I picked up, and we can talk about, I want to definitely talk a little bit about Mario Kart, but I did pick up Cyberpunk. And which is actually, it's all in the game. It's their credit, it is not a game key card. And I'm actually shocked at really how it's one of those things where people talk about it and you see videos, totally different experience when you hold it in your hand and you're playing and you're like, man, this looks and the performance mode. Maybe it's when you're playing Cyberpunk on the Switch 2 with the variable refresh rate in performance mode, which is running. I mean, there are moments where I'm like, this does not feel like 40, which I know people are showing. Like, this feels like 60 to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it definitely feels way like it's running way better. I'm shocked at how well it looks and how well it runs. But, you know, CD Projekt Red, I mean, they're the ones who did the Witcher port on Switch 1, and which is like insane. So,
and you love that.
Oh, yeah. It's such a good port. And then I picked up Rune Factory. Guardians, because I've never played a Rune Factory game, and they've always kind of appealed to me. And man, same thing. I mean, this is, you know, this to me is like, it kind of feels like a Tales game to me, just in like the art style. It's that anime art style, but playing this actually is, it gives me a lot of hope for what like a lot of the RPGs we will see on Switch too. Like, I think we will get a lot of those older series Tales games. Like, there's no reason we couldn't get like a Tales of Berseria or, you know, a lot of those other games getting ported. And so like, this to me is like, oh yeah, this is kind of a good way to see like, this is probably what we should expect on Switch too. But I'm not super far into it yet, but it's, you know, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. I honestly didn't expect to, I don't want to say burnout on Mario Kart. I'm still going through 150cc.
Right.
I did not expect to pick Zelda back up. That was not in my plan at all. I thought Mario Kart would kind of hold me over until Donkey Kong came out, which looks amazing, by the way.
Yep, pre-ordered it. Yep.
Nintendo nailed it with their Direct. I think they listened to some feedback that people were saying that they didn't have enough context into some of the reveals in the previous Directs, and they definitely answered every question that people have. But I kind of anticipated Mario Kart would hold me over until then. And I didn't expect Zelda to kind of pop in, you know?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, because I was like, man, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet was not the game I expected me to be like, oh, this is the one I'm really going to dive back into. I have also been, wrote, yeah, we talked about Mario Kart. But I've also been, man, doing a lot of experimenting with, there's a lot of Switch 1 games, like regular Switch 1 games, not that have received official updates, but a lot of these Switch 1 games, like Dragon Quest Builders and like The Witcher 3 port actually runs better. But a lot of these games, there's a handful of games that maybe had like an uncapped frame rate, which now run at 60 FPS on Switch 2. Switch 1 games. And so I've actually been doing like Trials of Mana is a game. It's like, oh, this runs at 60 FPS now. And right. So there's like I put out a couple videos and there's like people, there's a community, online communities, everybody breaking it down, all these games that now, like maybe they ran on Switch, they actually ran at like 28 or 29 frames a second. Now they run like locked 30, and with the variable refresh rate, it just looks so much better. So it like immediately upgrades a lot of your Switch 1 library, and a lot of these games could get ports to where, or updates where there's like, okay, they unlock the frame rate, now it runs at 60. So like that's super exciting too.
I also didn't expect to experiment as much as I did.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, let me try Odyssey, and I played around with Odyssey for like an hour. Yeah, I didn't expect to like, oh, let me test this.
I know, it's so cool.
It's weird, but I just wanted to see how things would run and how they look, and they look so much better on the Switch
too. It's such a big update too, and being able to play at 4K, and I'm mostly playing a 1440p monitor. It looks great.
Right.
Okay, Mario Kart World, man. What are you thinking?
It's fun. It's great. Yeah, sitting on the couch playing with people. One of my friends also picked up a Switch 2, and we set up voice chat in the camera, and it was We just laughed. Yeah. It was like we were kids again. Just
I know.
Playing on the couch, the playing idea. Mario 64. We just sat there and we were like playing around with the camera, going through the settings, and just it took me back to a place that I thought was long gone. Like that couch co-op. It's C to me means couch. It means couch co-op time. You know?
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't buy the camera, because until like my brother and some other people. Although maybe now maybe we'll have to do it. Maybe we'll have to find something and play Mario Kart or something. But a lot of people haven't really been talking about the camera thing, because I just don't think a lot of people are doing that yet. But
I just set up my own camera.
You can just USB-C whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it worked fine. Looks good. Yeah,
but
I mean, your head, you'll see your head on like the Mario Kart players, and you'll see it in the map. It's like playing in the arcade. I don't know if you played those like racing games in the arcade, mm-hmm. where they focus on your face. It's a little bit of that, and it's fun.
It could be kind of cool for streaming.
Yeah.
If it pops up there, and then like you can have like, essentially four people like on screen at once. And it actually, then it's like, you could just do like I could just do my audio and then not have to worry about my webcam, and then just have the webcam from the Switch do it. And like streaming, that could actually be cool if you're all playing like a four player game or something.
It's I would love to do that.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. I don't trust my friends on a stream though.
Because of the wild
things they say, but it was very unique and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, Switch 2. Anything else on Switch 2 before we send off Switch 1?
Yeah, that Donkey Kong Direct looked phenomenal.
It looks great.
I was so surprised reveals.
Is there any Donkey Kong and any other games that are like on your radar?
Obviously Metroid. I keep hearing rumbles about an Animal Crossing in 2025. Yeah. If those rumors are true, that would be I think a lot of the haters will no longer talk.
Yeah.
They're just going to go get a Switch 2 in secret and play Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing is going to shut the game down for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sucks because it's a digital in a box, which I think is stupid. That's what the game key cards are for. And you have a game key card. Do you feel any?
It was okay. I like the fact that if I ever were to get bored with the game, I could sell it, mm-hmm. and someone could pick it up and download the game. It's fine. It did take a while to download, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I could see the digital physical. I'm not crazy about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like cause Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 is coming out, but it's a digital in the box only. But there's actually a lot of games that are coming out on Switch 1 that you can do the update for, but you can still get like the Switch 1, which is still the physical edition. So I think the Final Fantasy Tactics Remaster, which can't wait for that.
Yep.
I think that Square has said that that will be the case. If you buy the Switch 2 version is game key card, the Switch 1 version will be on the cart, but you can do the update. So
probably have to do that.
Yeah, I know. So there's definitely some games that it's like I still might end up getting the Switch 1 version. So you still kind of like have, which actually that's a game like I don't think it's really going to matter if you're playing the Switch 1 version or the Switch 2 version, but I, you know, so that does exist as well. So okay, yeah, but that's it for me. Donkey Kong, and actually I think Madden, I'm actually really excited for Madden to come back to Switch, because it wasn't on Switch 1 at all. There was no like football games. It sucked. Okay, so we are going to talk about Switch 1 here. Send it off. That's so right. First of all, I think we should start with our most disappointing game on Switch 1 and then get into the honorable mentions and then get into our top games. So for, I don't know what you picked. You don't know what I picked, but I'll let you go first.
Probably GTA.
Really?
That GTA trilogy, whatever it was, it did not work when I first put it in. It was so laggy.
Apparently it runs a lot better on Switch 2 now.
I'm sure it's great now, but I was just very disappointed with that.
Yeah. I haven't dove into that yet. It's on my list, especially because if they maybe uncap it runs at 60, then I'll totally pick it up. And you know, I can pick it up on PC or something like that. But yeah, that's on my list to check out. But I have seen that it's been having better luck on Switch 2. For me, Mario Kart, Mario Strikers Battle League.
I didn't even know that was a game.
Yeah, they brought back Mario Strikers on Switch 1, and it is the worst Mario Strikers game. It's just like Nintendo abandoned it. It's like it just had no updates, and there was like, it's basically just like online play. That was like the whole game. And I felt like the Mario Party, not Jamboree, but the second Mario Party, Superstars or whatever, same thing. It was like, why didn't they it must not have sold well enough. They didn't do any DLC for it. They didn't do anything. But actually Mario Strikers, the GameCube version is coming out, I think the 5th on like this
really
week, this week or something like that. Yeah. It's coming to the Switch Online GameCube thing. Yeah.
That's always everybody's favorite. They always want more baseball, more soccer,
I love
more baseball. Tennis. I know we got tennis in the last gen, but
yeah, we got golf in the last gen too.
Yep.
So, tennis is great. So I have some honorable mentions in front of me. Do you have physical in front of you? Honorable mentions?
I do.
Okay. Well, we can just go back and forth.
Okay.
And we don't have to go super deep into these games, but just to rapid fire here.
This is more of a joke.
That's good.
I have Plumbers Don't Wear Ties.
What even is that game? I've never heard of that game in my life.
Plumbers Don't Wear Ties is by far one of the funniest, dumbest games ever, and it came out on the 3DO, and I owned it on the 3DO as well, and it's just such an obscure game, borderline inappropriate.
Oh, it's one of those like FMV games.
Yeah, you remember in like the 90s when they went overboard with the FMV
Night Trap and all
terrible.
That.
Terrible. It's that, yeah. But it's like it's basically the day of a plumber trying to get a job. It's such a weird game, but they re-released, I think it's Limited Run. Yeah, Limited
Run. There's a collector's edition.
Oh, great.
Do you have the fans?
No, I just have the regular one.
The collector's edition comes with a tie, and it comes with stickers and like an art book. That I didn't even know this game existed on like a 3DO, let alone.
It's so funny. The clips, and it's the worst acting that you'll ever see in an FMV. It's just a goofy, weird game.
Oh my! You bring out the wacky, wild. Those FMV games, man, they are absurd. They're so ridiculous.
They are. This is the king, though.
Okay. All right. Well, mine is like, I guess, legit game. I don't know. And that's Skyward Sword for me. Just the fact that they got the updated version where you can play as like the actual controller as opposed to it. And my God, man, I really hope Nintendo is planning on doing more of like the 4K updates for a lot of their first party games. You give me Skyward Sword with that. Like, oh God, I'm so down.
Another comment on the Switch 2 is I do like the customization of the controls. Mm-hmm. So if you play Wind Waker, which I tested out on GameCube, You can change the controls around. And I think
I hate those stock controls on Wind Waker.
Do you remember the camera? It's like reversed. Yeah. You can switch it to normal and it works so much better.
Yeah.
Another underappreciated new highlight of the Switch 2, I think.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they give us the Wii U port.
Yeah.
Make that 4K 60. Down.
So my other honorable mention we already talked about is the collector's edition of Tears of the Kingdom. I do love, like I said, I do love the Breath of the Wild a bit more. An honorable mention, since it's going to be a very heavy Zelda, probably top in the top five. So
what is it? What come is that? Does the book, I think I have like the art book or the,
this
I
one
is like a strategy guide, I think.
Yeah, this one comes with the book, the art book.
I think I have the book separately. Yeah,
I forgot what else came in that. I don't know. I remember I have the collector's edition for Breath of the Wild as well, and that one is pretty sweet.
Came with like a map and stuff, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a couple more here. I don't know. Octopath Traveler. Oh,
great game.
That was like, oh my god, man! When I played that, that's one of the games that sold me like on the Switch. I was like, this is going to be an RPG like heaven. Like 2D RPG machine for me, which really that's what the Switch one really was for me. It's like 2D RPG just went like crazy with those. And yeah, freaking absolutely loved. I have the second one. I haven't really found myself time to dive into it. But I imagine it's just as good.
The other two honorable mentions I could probably lump into one. I didn't grab them, but it's Link's Awakening and Echoes of Wisdom. Beautiful games.
Wisdom now runs at 60 on Switch.
It does. You can definitely see an upgrade. I know it's like the animation style, but you do notice a little bit of an upgrade for that game. Just a charming game. Yeah. I didn't play it on the Switch 1. I just had it in my backlog, and I put it in Switch 2, and I'm like halfway through. I forgot to mention that. I'm also playing that as well.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm with you too. The Echoes of Wisdom came out, and I think I was just busy with other stuff. I have it. I just haven't got around to playing it yet, but I want to, because diehard Zelda game, Zelda fan, you know. Okay, so I just have a couple here, and I'll kind of rapid fire them. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, just fantastic game.
I love another, the first two.
Oh yeah, another game I hope gets like just a patch to be able to run like a 60. I'm gonna go Splatoon 2.
Yep.
Because when Splatoon 3 launched, I don't think it was in a very good state.
To be
entirely honest, it was like the servers kept dropping and everything. But now it did just get an update. It got it like last week. So I've been more into Splatoon 3, but I spent a ton of time with Splatoon 2. This is actually one of those games that my wife started playing, and then was the reason for me buying the Switch OLED. It was like Luigi's Mansion 3, because she's like not a gamer, right? But so Luigi's Mansion 3, she started diving into. Now she's played all the Luigi's Mansion's games and Splatoon. And she was like hardcore at it. Like she would get friend requests like left and right. She's like, does not play video games, because she just got like, she played so much of it. She got so good at it. I was like, you should like stream this. You could like compete, you know? She probably has like 300-400 hours in Splatoon 2. And then same thing, 3 came out and I bought it. I was like, we could play together. And then it just had such kind of a bad launch, but now it's way better. Right. And then finally, man, this game kind of came out of nowhere. Cruisin' Blast. Have you played it?
No.
Oh, dude.
No.
You have to get Cruisin' Blast. One, really?
I don't have it.
Oh my god, dude. It is, if you played Cruisin' USA on N64 back in the day, this game is so good. It is such like a midway arcade racer. You will have just a blast of a time. Oh man, it's like, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's total arcade game, like big dinosaurs come out and UFOs and rocket launchers and every
insanity.
Midway?
Midway's
been dead for a long time. It is it's Raw Thrills is the name of the company, but I think it's like some of the people who originally worked, but it's got that, I mean, it feels like Hydro Thunder. It feels like they did a very good job of continuing on, with the Cruisin' series, the Cruisin' franchise. Yeah.
Just to add a comment to Splatoon, I bought all three twice. so I could play with my daughter. And that was one and two we played a lot of. She's way better at it than I am. She'll still pick it up and play today.
Yeah.
She loves that game.
Yeah, I've been diving. I've been playing three now that it's got the update, and I'm like, oh, so glad that it's got that update. Okay, here we go. Let's dive into our top five. These don't necessarily have to be in any order. They can be if you want, but just like the five games that it's like, oh yeah, these are my jams. I think we have one that's going to overlap, of course.
It is.
That's fine. Yep. Yeah.
So no order whatsoever, and this is just one of those weird games that people do love, and I love. It was just a better experience on the Switch. I didn't finish it in the first playthrough on 360. And when it re-released, I definitely picked it up. It was another game where I kind of abandoned for a bit and picked it back up after a couple months. I finished it last year, and man, what an amazing game. And it's great to be portable. One of the best things about the Switch is that it's portable. And it was just... it was fantastic. They did a good job porting it, and it ran well. Not that it wouldn't, right?
Yeah, it's certainly better than the 360 whatever version. I think if you get it on like PS5, it's like 4K 60.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really need it to still be such a phenomenal game. Yeah, I bought that too the minute it launched on Switch. And I tested it, and it does run better on Switch 2 now. So and then did you do Undead Nightmare?
I haven't done that yet.
Oh, you got to do it.
It's so much fun. I know. Everyone. It's like so much one fun. Of the best thing I hear. It's the best thing about the game.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah. And the big rumor is that Red Dead 2 is coming to Switch 2.
That could pull me back.
Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go. Thief! Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Red Dead 2 is like, I mean, Red Dead 1 is one of the best games ever.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, I prefer the Red Dead series to Grand Theft Auto.
That's a hot take.
I don't know. A lot of people because I played like Red Dead Revolver. Like when it first came out, and I loved it. There just weren't a lot of Western games, you know. I just liked that. I don't know. I live out in Oregon, man. Where this is like, you know, that's like my backyard. You know, I'm the wilderness. That's where we're at. So,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I'm gonna go with a game that actually has probably become my second favorite RPG ever, and that is Fire Emblem Three Houses. Man, fell in love with this game. I have beaten it every possible way. They added to the DLC, like all five storylines essentially, and my god, I just fell in love with it. The characters, I loved it. They're just like the branching paths. You can marry the different people, which just opens up different storylines, and at the end they end up kind of like you end up facing each other, right? Where you have because it's like, you know, the three different factions, and then towards the end you end up all kind of fighting each other. And so, man, it's just like heartbreaking to see some of these storylines where it's like, oh man, I liked that character over there. Now you have to kill him, right? Now you have to like take down some of the characters who maybe in your last playthrough you befriended, right? And so, yeah, I just loved it. The soundtrack.
I've never played or own any Fire Emblem.
Well, that's okay. For what I know,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. This actually was my first Fire Emblem game.
Okay.
And I have bought some of the ones on 3DS, and it's a very different experience. So this one is like the most different from the rest of the franchise. And actually I was not able to get super into Engage. Which I also picked up, but I don't know. It just doesn't have the same vibe to me. I don't know. I just didn't like it. But I, at least on my end, I think if you're going to start with a Fire Emblem game, and maybe I'm wrong because I'm not a diehard, but this is the one to get.
I've always wanted to get into it. It looks beautiful. The art style, fantastic. It's always
the soundtrack is curiosity. Unreal. Yeah. I think if you're going to play one, I would play this. Cause there's essentially now, let me think about this. There is one, two, three, four. There's five storylines if you include the DLC. And you can like recruit people from the other houses to like join you. So essentially you're kind of all at this school, you know, it's like monastery, and you're like waging war on this different faction that's kind of evil. And then towards the end, it's like, oh, it might actually be the church. And it's, you know, all this, it's like a super crazy storyline to get into, but it's just so fun building out your characters, doing the class specs, the jobs, and it's a tactical RPG, right? And it's right. So it was really fun on Switch 1 because I also, by the way, also tended to play a lot of games where you could use the D-pad on Switch 1. I don't know if I was just like scared of playing games where you'd break the Joy-Con, but right. I just like in thinking about that, I was like, oh, that did kind of end up happening as I ended up feeling like I ended up using the D-pad a lot more on Switch 1 than whatever.
I think for a tactics game, it makes sense to use a D-pad.
Yeah. And
unless it's like a 3D world where I need to use the analog so I can make it smooth. I'm most like fighting games still. I'm using the D-pad.
Yeah. But yeah, man. I cannot recommend this game enough. I've played every possible path of that game.
I gotta check it out. Yeah. It's always been on my list of things to get, but they're also very expensive retro games.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get those.
They're very expensive. I think this one was printed enough you might be able to find. And then they actually made a there's two Warriors games that kind of go like the Hyrule Warriors, mm-hmm. but the second one is actually, the first one is just like Fire Emblem in general. The second one is actually like, it's like Age of Calamity, but for this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, I hear that's got a good upgrade for Switch 2.
Oh, it runs at 62 now. Yeah. It was like 30, and now it's 60 on Switch 2. So I played like 5 minutes of it and then I'm probably going to go back.
It's funny, like every game we talk about, like, oh, that's good on Switch 2.
Better go play it on Switch 2 now. Yep.
My pick is obviously Mario Odyssey. It's not a perfect game. It's almost a perfect game. I did find that the assets that they used in the game were kind of jarring for a Mario game.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's that boss battle with the dragon. Like the dragon is... Yeah. Way too fantasy, Game of Thrones, kind of strange. Right. The people
in New Donk City, it feels out of place.
Weird. Yeah, it's weird. You look at Mario and you're like, what the hell happened to you? Why don't you look like them? Or why don't they look like you?
It's just agree. Weird. Yeah, like when you go to New Donk City and you're running with like normal people and then you're Mario, but then like in Sunshine, like everything looks Mario. Like you're still in a city. Yeah, I totally agree. And then like they're just like regular dinosaurs and stuff, but on Mario Kart, they're like Mario Kart themed.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs. Like, it's still great, but I agree. It was kind of weird.
Why'd they do that? That's so strange.
I don't know.
It's a fantastic game. I think it's the first game my daughter ever beat officially was Odyssey. She just like went through the whole thing, got everything you could get in that game. And I loved it too. It's just one of those I hope she looks back because that's going to be her Mario generation, right? Like I used to look back on Mario 1 on the NES and 2 and 3. Just a fantastic game. I when I first saw the release, I was like, I don't know about the cap gimmick.
Yeah.
But it's like Kirby. Fun. Yeah, it's very cool. It's very fun. It definitely expands the game. It's like it's an insane game.
Yeah, there was moments in there where I'm like, oh, like there's like two water worlds. I forget which one it is. I think it's the one where you're like in like a little cove and like the beach one. And you could take over some of the like starfish. I don't know whatever they are. But where you could shoot the water. And I was like, oh, it's actually the same mechanics as Sunshine.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can do the jetpack and like you can do the. And so I was like, that's a really cool. Yeah, that's a really cool way. Did you play Wonder? The 2D one?
I started, but I didn't finish it.
Yeah,
I hear it's amazing.
Yeah, Wonder almost made my list because I love it. It's such a great 2D Mario. It's up there with like Super Mario 3 and Super Mario World is what I consider.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's just because it's just every level feels so different and so unique. Like I mean, I said it at the time and I still like even thinking about it now that I've like have some time to reflect. I'm like, is it the best 2D Mario game? I mean, I think it's right there with 3D. I think really it comes down to when you look at like even like just three versus world, it comes down to which do you prefer. I don't really, it's hard for me to really say one is better than the other because it's like they're both just fantastic. It's like, do you like Yoshi more or do you like having like the variety of power-ups
right
in three? But I think Wonder is right there as well because every stage you can play like two to three different ways. And
isn't yeah, it's each just, stage it's just, random too for everyone that plays? Isn't it like uniquely created?
No, it's not like procedural, but it's just so you can play the stage like normally, but then you can also go find the Wonder Flower, which like completely changes what you do in the game, in the level. So it's really like every level is like two levels. Hmm. Yeah, it's just it's fantastic.
It's on my list. It's in my backlog. I gotta play it.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, but yeah, I bought my Switch for Odyssey. That was the game where I was like, okay, yeah. Now I have to get a Switch. Was Odyssey? I loved New Donk City, and I loved the I love when you went to 2D mode, like when you're running around and you switch to the 2D mode and you're on the wall, like where Pauline is singing and you're doing the Donkey Kong thing.
Yeah, like Galaxy does the callbacks too. I love.
Yeah.
I
like Galaxy more. I think.
Yeah, I think I do too.
Yeah.
Galaxy was so I hope they go back to that
and do
that
Galaxy
franchise and do three. It's such a unique kind of game.
I thought we would get the I'm surprised we're getting Donkey Kong before Mario.
It's definitely that team.
Yeah, it's the same
team. It's definitely Odyssey team.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I'm just maybe it's because you know they know that they can expand right now Nintendo is trying to expand Donkey Kong out because they're going to they're going to do like a Donkey Kong movie,
right
which is why they actually changed his appearance in the games to look like that. And I would have to imagine that when that game launches, because like Donkey Kong in Mario Kart World only has like one outfit, like Pauline only has a couple.
Oh, definitely.
You know those characters are getting brought into Mario Kart World.
I think because of the movie too, like the fact that Donkey Kong was in that movie and he kind of played a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think that definitely expanded the universe for people in Donkey Kong. It's been so long since we've had an official one outside of 2D.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Donkey Kong. You had Donkey Kong 64 and then Donkey Kong on like GameCube and Wii was all like, I don't even know if there was one on Wii, but certainly on GameCube, it was like Donkey Konga, right? Was there a 3D Donkey Kong game on GameCube?
Nope.
That is just Donkey Konga. Yeah.
Right. Was it Tropical Breeze on the Wii U?
Yeah. And then the Donkey Kong Country Returns, but those are all 2D. Yeah. So certainly there's been no other 3D. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's a good move. Look what they can do with their IP. That's not Mario. It's going to sell.
Expand it out.
I honestly was way like you expected a Mario when they had their direct. But the fact that they pulled out Donkey Kong, I'm like, man, that looks stunning. I can't wait to dive in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go with this. And this was tough. I really had to legitimately think because I love all four of the games. I guess some people kind of argue five, I guess, because the DLC for the second game is so big that it's almost its own standalone thing. But it ultimately came down to, even though this was a Wii U launch and it got ported to the Switch, it's just my favorite game in the franchise. And now it was the one game I was literally campaigning for on Twitter and like stuff every time there's a Nintendo Direct, like, I just want this game. And we finally got it. And that's Xenoblade X. I love three. I think I like three the most outside of X, at least in like the main fridge franchise. But just being able to play this game again and have it look better than the Wii U version. And they months ago, they found code. The people who data mined it found code that there's going to be a 60 FPS thing. So if this gets the Switch 2 update, which I think at what the online rumor is that they're going to do all of the games at once. Right. Because Monolith Soft was helping with like Mario Kart World and, you know, everything. Right. So they're like the best to me. They're the best team at Nintendo because it's like they helped with like Breath of the Wild and everything. And they just know how to make these like insane open world games. But my God, I just love Xenoblade Chronicles X so much. It's just such a cool world to run around. And it's just this massive game. And once you unlock the mechs and you can fly around, it's just so cool. The character building. The Xenoblade franchise is just something that I just love. I never really thought I would get into it because I've never been super big into the MMO style of RPGs where you just kind of manage the way your team's doing.
I don't like those.
Yeah, like it's one of the things that turned me off of Final Fantasy 12, and I think I'm more into it because of the Xenoblade franchise. The only other game I've ever really played that I was like, this was okay, was Knights of the Old Republic, which uses that same type of thing. And I actually did get into WoW during Mist of Pandaria and played it for a little bit, and I kind of just like, okay, I've become more accustomed to it, but it's still not my favorite. I would rather just, because it's like this in between, right? Of like, do you go full turn-based or just go full action? Well, this is kind of the in-between. And I think it's just the world of Xenoblade Chronicles X and everything that just kind of opened it up for me. But my God, I just love it. I hope so badly that we get a 60 FPS port of it.
What's funny is that I don't, like you said, I don't appreciate those kind of games where it's not turn-based. I way prefer turn-based so much more.
Same.
But honestly, Xenoblade was one of those games where I was like, it wasn't bad. Their system's not that bad. However, I had a hard time getting into Final Fantasy VII because they kind of switched to it for the remake.
Oh yeah.
And those, like you said,
it's action, but you're still kind of managing.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, I know. I
like turn-based. If you're going to remake a game, you should remake it as a turn-based game.
Yeah, I'm. My brother bought me Clair Obscur Expedition 33, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm like 5 minutes into it, but just like, because a lot of people compare it to Legend of Dragoon because of the combat system. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out. So my brother and I, we always just like, hey, what do you want on Steam? Because it's just easy because we live across the country. So I was like, okay, well, give me this because everyone says it's great. So I started playing it a little bit and it's like, oh man, turn-based is awesome. It's back, you know?
Yeah.
And so I agree. Same thing. I mean, yeah, I have a lot of issues with the Final Fantasy VII remake, calling it a remake because it's not really a remake as it is like a side story, right? So like story-wise, I don't like that it's even called remake because it's not really a remake as it is like a side story, you know, without going super deep into spoilers because it's coming to Switch,
right?
You know, so yeah,
maybe I'll check it out then. I feel like I just need to give it more time, but man,
Rebirth though, I like a lot more.
Really?
Yeah, just because like Remake is much more linear, whereas Rebirth it's like just true open world. Because I actually loved Final Fantasy 15, but which is its own story or whatever. And like the story in that is not, that's by far its weakest point. But I just the open world was just so much fun to drive around and like the buddy, guys road trip aspect to it. I hope it gets, because I think we will see a ton of last gen games get ported to Switch too. Like I'm shocked we haven't even seen the Resident Evil like 2 and 3 remakes and stuff coming to Switch, because you just know those are coming at some point. And we know Elden Ring is coming and stuff like that. So there's definitely a lot of games that it's like, oh, now I could buy a physical version of that and play it on Switch 2. And I totally will replay Resident Evil 2 remake on Switch 2.
Yeah. I hope they bring Delta. I know it's like a PS exclusive, but I hope
Metal Gear. Yeah, I think it's PC though too. So I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I know. I think it's got an Xbox. It'll probably get a Switch port.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. What do you have next?
All of my props are huge.
That's okay.
So I got all the collector's editions.
Okay.
I got the backside. Metroid Dread.
Yeah.
It's tough to make a 2D side profile game interesting lately. Mm-hmm. The story, they added so many story elements to the game and a lot of those callbacks. I know they call it fan service, but I love fan service sometimes. I don't know if you played Dread, but
no, I haven't, but everyone said I should. I almost bought it because I wanted the Switch OLED because I was like, oh, you get those white Joy-Cons. But I didn't buy like the Dread, with it, because I don't think it was actually a bundle. I think it just came out.
Yeah.
And people were like, but you had to buy them separately. If it had been a bundle, I would have bought it.
I love the fact that you could, they've experimented with the franchise with Prime. Like this is a story for Prime, but they also continue on the story from 1 with Dread. And I like that Nintendo kind of
when does it take place?
It takes place, I believe Prime takes place before the events of Metroid 1.
Right.
Dread is really 5 in the series.
Okay.
So like Metroid 1, 2, which is Super Metroid.
Right.
I'm sorry. 2 is Metroid 2, Return of Samus.
Yeah, Super Metroid is 3. Super Metroid's
3.
And then Fusion is after.
Exactly. Okay. Fusion is 4 and this
and
is
then
5.
Other M I think is also
separate.
You know, I didn't hate that game, but I'm also not like a diehard Metroid fan, so I get why people like criticized it and stuff like that, but for me I was like, I don't know, I played it, I had fun, but I'm not like a diehard Metroid person.
I do like the fact that Nintendo does that, where it's they still like remain true to the core of the game, like those Mario Wonder games,
right?
Then the Odyssey. I like that they have those separate paths to tell the story that kind of pay homage to the originals. And Dread does that fantastically. It's a very hard game too.
Yeah.
I think the level of difficulty is definitely up there.
The last boss fight is brutal.
Unbearable. But it's so worth, it's so satisfying once you do it.
Yeah. So yeah, because you're way more into Metroid than I am. But did you play the 3DS one?
The remake of 2.
Right. Okay, that's what Yeah.
It's the Return of Samus. It was fun. I don't like some of the physical attacks that happen because there's like a parry that happens in the game.
Right.
Where something like will attack you and you can smack it away. I'm not crazy about that because I always like relying on tools and items that kind of progress you through the story. I've always loved that more, but it's a cool game. I don't know what they're going to do with something like that because I feel like 3DS games are stuck on the 3DS forever until they figure out they'd have to remake a lot of that. So.
Right. Cause you have the second screen. Yeah. Functionality. Right. Yeah. Cool. Okay. All right. Moving the line along here. Cause I think I have two more games and we have the same game for one of them. So I had to go with Pokemon Sword. I think Sword and Shield, right? Just because, and I know now Scarlet and Violet, so it might change, I guess, but really it's like the Switch 2 version of Scarlet and Violet. But I don't know. Now it's like Pokemon went through a really weird phase on Switch where I think it was trying to decide exactly what it wanted to be, right? Because now they're expanding more into the, like the Legends Arceus and the whatever. And then there was Pokemon Let's Go where they said, we kind of have that over there too. So this was really, they did the Diamond and Pearl remakes, but this was kind of the hybrid of it. Right, where you still have the traditional towns and the traditional path, where like Scarlet and Violet is total open world and you can go to whichever town you want first. But man, I like that it felt 3D, because even though you're running down like a locked path, but then they had the big open world, right? They had the open world areas, and I think I liked that more. And I think I liked that you still went into like a battle screen as opposed to like even in Scarlet and Violet, even with the updates. I like the camera angles on some of the battles are like atrocious. Like it's like this weird, like locked in thing. And you're just fighting on like a blank, you know, green screen or whatever, you know, like green grass. Like it's like, even with the updates, it's like, it doesn't fix a lot of some of the issues that Scarlet and Violet has. It fixes a lot of them, but it doesn't fix all of them. But so this still felt kind of like traditional Pokemon, but I was like, oh, this is what Pokemon could be. And then ultimately they said, well, we're going to take this aspect and go forward. But I like that they swapped up the rival to where your rival was now kind of like a loser and he sucked, as opposed to like the Gary Oak, you know, traditionalists where they're like hardcore and always like thwarting you at every turn, where, you know, you just kept like wrecking your rival. I just thought it was kind of a fun new twist on it. But man, I loved Sword and Shield. It was just such a, because it was like, it felt big, right? It's like, oh man, Mario Odyssey and now Fire Emblem, all this stuff, even on Switch, which was underpowered compared to PS4 and Xbox One, and then, you know, PS5 and stuff like that. But Sword and Shield was, I was like, oh man, it felt bigger and different.
Is it still a turn-based battle system in those games?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, true turn-based, true everything. It, to me, it feels like it's like, I mean sword, it's Scarlet and Violet is too, but now you have the thing where you can throw them out and they can just kind of auto-battle.
Right.
And Legends Arceus, I haven't really played that much. I played a little bit of it, and I was like, same thing. I didn't like it. I didn't necessarily like the open world aspect to it, and more of like the Pokemon Go style with like you just like throwing Pokeballs and catching people. So I think the Sword and Shield for me was the one that I was like, and that's the one I did all the DLC for it and everything.
I don't know if this is true. Maybe you can help me. But the Let's Go, isn't that a remake of the like blue and red?
Well, and yellow? It is a remake, but it is also a continuation of that story.
Okay.
But it uses the Let's Go. It's weird. I think they just wanted to tie something to Pokemon Go. And the cool thing is you can actually like import your Pokemon Go
that you find in the world.
Into that game, which was kind of cool. But yeah, they kind of switched up the game mechanics, but it is like, it is the same world. It is Kanto, but it's not like a true remake. I think it actually takes place after. Again, I got like halfway through that game and I got caught up with other stuff. And so I never ultimately finished it, mostly because I was like, I'd rather play Sword and Shield. And so I played it. So I played it instead.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. What else do you have?
I have two more. The one I thought I had, I don't actually own the physical copy because it was COVID.
Yeah.
So I just downloaded it and it's Animal Crossing.
Same. I only own it digital.
Yeah. It's one of the few games I only have digital. I always go physical, ride or die for Nintendo, but COVID, I downloaded it that day. And when you got that game, boy, did we need it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was big deal. Game,
we got it when we needed it most, and it was so intoxicating how much time I spent in that game. Like probably 300 hours.
When were you laid off in COVID, or were you work from home?
I was working from home.
Yeah, see, I got laid off, which actually was great because I hated the job I was at. So I was like one of those, like, all right, well, they're sending me a lot of extra money to be unemployed. So, okay.
No happy marriage.
Okay.
No happy marriage.
No
happy marriage has ever ended in divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was right there with you, man. And Animal Crossing is actually the one game, and I probably will do this on Switch too, is because it's a game that's meant to be played every day. It is one of those games that I like exclusively will buy digitally. Cause otherwise you're like, taking the cart in and out every day, and I'm not doing that. Like, so when the new Animal Crossing comes out, I will buy it digitally otherwise I would never play it, and so same actually with my game which I'll even bring up right now is Stardew Valley, because it's like same, it's they're very very similar games, but yeah, it's like I don't want to buy Stardew Valley physical because I'm gonna be putting it in and out. But yeah, but right there with you on Animal Crossing, perfect timing during COVID. Yep. And loved it because I loved New Leaf. That was like the reason I bought a 3DS, was for Animal Crossing New Leaf. But I loved everything they did in Horizon, where you just like the coffee shop, and I loved the expanding museum, and you actually could like terraform the island the way you wanted to, and to see some of the, and then you could download the QR, like you could do the codes and you could download pictures and stuff like that. Yep. Like that, and you could essentially do your own artwork. Yep. That was a super cool addition.
It was a great learning lesson for my daughter too, because I was a millionaire in that game.
Oh yeah,
I ran that turnip market like nobody's business, and my daughter's like, can I have some bells? Can I get some more bells? I'm like, if I keep giving you bells, you're never going to make your own bells,
Yeah.
It was a good learning lesson. I'm like, all right, this is how you, this is how you take advantage of the turnip market. And she just kept trying to upgrade and upgrade. I'm like, I can't keep doing this for you.
Did you hunt for specific villagers? Because that's the thing. Some people are like, I want the specific people.
I did. Yeah. I did a couple. But if I it keeps me awake at night thinking about returning back to my town now, thinking of all like who's gone. I don't even want to think about it. It's a nightmare for me.
I still pop in New Leaf to my 3DS every now and then, and I'll pick it up every couple months and play for a couple days and stuff like that. Because that's the Animal Crossing game that I played like the most religiously. Yeah. Was definitely New Leaf. And they're like, oh, you've been gone for, you know, so long or whatever. And pick it up. Like, I mean, sure, I could dig out my GameCube and pop it in and pull up the thing. And they'd be like, hey, you've been gone for like, you know,
ten years.
Like 10 years. Like, okay. Actually, at this point, it's probably more than that. It's probably like 20 years. Hey, we haven't seen you in 20 years. You know, how's your town going?
Still here.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah. So for me, the other game was Stardew Valley. It was a very similar type of game, you know, where like, you know, farming and cozy town and everything like that. And, you know, it came out on Vita actually. So I think there, what you could have played it, but for me, it was like, oh, I can play. It was like the Switch, you know, early in the Switch's life cycle. Oh, I can play Stardew Valley on the go. Right. And so I could play it on the couch and all this stuff and not have to sit down. And so it's like the perfect game for a Switch, just because I still play it. I still have my original Switch 1 save that I started when 2017 or whatever, that I still play like regularly. That's like the one I play is that.
Like, you still play it today?
Yeah, it's like the same save. I bought it on Switch 1 and I still play it regularly. You know, like, I don't play it every day, but I play it like, oh yeah, we pop in Stardew Valley. And it's that same save file.
I never got into it.
Oh my God.
I never got into it.
You have to, because you have a CRT.
Yeah,
you have to hook your Steam Deck or whatever up to your CRT and play Stardew Valley.
It looks so interesting. I get it. It's God, a therapeutic, man. Cozy game. It looks
There's
fun.
So much to it, man. There's,
but I feel like it would just consume me. Yeah. It'd be too much.
You have to try it. You have to, man. You have to get it on Steam. Get it on like Steam Deck or whatever.
No, I own it. I have it on Switch.
Yeah. Yeah,
I couldn't do it.
No, man, it's got that. It's just got that like 90s PC vibe. That's so cool.
I like that they chose that 8-bit or 16-bit style.
Yeah, and then modding it. If you ever want to play it on PC, there's like, it's like Skyrim. Oh, there's like an infinite number of mods you can do to it and everything. And yeah, there's like, I mean, there people have done like, I mean, like mega expansions to it, and it's just like Skyrim. I mean, you can mod it to literally whatever you want it to be. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we both have the same number one, which is my number one game. You know,
it's probably my favorite on the system.
Yeah,
it's a top like, top three all time for me.
It's like it's top five game all time for me.
Yeah. Also, a giant prop.
Yep.
Breath of the Wild.
There we go.
This one came with a case for the Switch. Comes with a CD, a map, and a special coin. Obviously, the physical version of the game. Fantastic game. One thing I will say, now that I finished Tears of the Kingdom, Tears of the Kingdom had a more conventional Zelda story. Where the first one, I didn't realize that Calamity Ganon isn't actually Ganon.
Yeah.
I know it's confusing. I had to like do a YouTube to figure it out. But the Calamity Ganon it's the essence of Ganon that you're finding in the first game, where the second game it's actually Ganon. Mm-hmm. That's Ganondorf.
Yeah.
I do appreciate the physical entity a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, yeah, I agree with you. And that's, there's, to me, it's hard. Like, it's not even like Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask are, they, you know, essentially Majora's Mask, who knows, the timeline's all freaking jacked up.
I know.
It does take place after, but it's Kid Link, you know, and all that stuff. But at least in the idea that it's like, hey, here's like, it's like it's an expansion. Like, Majora's Mask was like, now you can go experiment with this gameplay engine. Same thing with Tears of the Kingdom. I think on Switch 2, you know, it looks so much better and it runs a lot better. But the things that I like about Breath of the Wild over Tears of the Kingdom is I like exploration in Breath of the Wild more because I actually explore more. I use my horse more. Where in Tears of the Kingdom, you just make some sort of machine and just drive around and do whatever. And then you got the motorcycle and that was super cool. But I actually liked almost the emptiness of Breath of the Wild. I had wished there was a little more towns, you know, and stuff to do, but Tears of the Kingdom went so overboard in that, right. that there's too much to do in Tears of the Kingdom. But I just wish there was a little bit more towns in Breath of the Wild and stuff like that. But yeah, when I bought it on Wii U at launch, because I didn't want to try to get a full Switch at launch, and then replayed it and stuff like that. But my God, man, I loved the piecing the story together. I thought that was a cool throwback to Zelda 1 and stuff like that, where you can do the dungeons in any order you want, because that's what it really ultimately is. If you really want to think about it, it is kind of like a Zelda 1 in a way remake, right?
Did you ever see the prototype that they used to make that game? Mm-mm. They basically made a top-down original Zelda to kind of map out everything.
Yeah,
and that's where they started. They started how do we make this more like the original?
Yeah, where it's definitely what it feels like.
Completely open. You can do whatever you want. They kick you out of the cave and you're like, what do I do? Where do I go? There's no map marker. Mm-hmm. There's twigs on the ground. You have no idea what to do. And I do love that fact that you have to figure it out.
Yeah. And I think for the Switch, the game being designed ultimately for the Switch and the shrines, it's little mini dungeons. I was kind of okay with that, because you go at your own pace as opposed to being stuck in some big, huge dungeon. I know people like both. I didn't mind the only being four dungeons essentially. Right. But then the expansion was great, where you get the Master Sword and it didn't break. And I get people didn't like climbing and, in the rain, it could be a little cumbersome at times and things like that. But overall, man, I loved that game. I loved exploring Hyrule and being able to just, run around and do everything. And compared to Tears of the Kingdom, where you can just jump off, Skybridge, jump out of the sky and zoom down and stuff like that, it kind of makes the actual Hyrule world feel small. Whereas Breath of the World, it feels insane. It feels huge. And even now, there's still stuff I'll find in Breath of the Wild that I didn't know was there.
I thought it was fantastic pacing with those shrines. Whereas here's a little break. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little puzzle for you to do. It's not intense. Not that the game's intense, but some of those dungeons can be taxing. They're a bit to figure out, and it requires a lot of brain power, where those shrines are nice little therapeutic sessions. And you just kind of pick away, then you're out in the field and you're running around. What a greatly paced game.
I kind of hope we don't see the next Zelda for a little bit. I know it's kind of I want the next Zelda, but I just want them to take their time and make whatever, because it's gonna be using this engine and it's gonna be expanded out, and I just hope it's big and epic.
And if you ever look at the timeline videos, because there's people that break it all down, check it out. But this Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom are the most current, latest in the timeline. They don't know when the jump is between the games, but it is the most recent, more in the future, obviously, because of the tech that's involved, even though it's ancient tech, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's the furthest in the timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hey, that's it, man. That's our closeout on the Switch One. I do have a comment here I want to pull up and get your thoughts on.
Okay.
So we'll do that here real quick. So this is actually on another older podcast I did about the DS, but I think it kind of fits in to this. And you're definitely somebody I thought this would be a cool kind of comment to get some thoughts on here. So somebody commented and they said, "If you ever want to admit how vital handhelds were to the video game space, as a Zelda fan, I feel that all the time, because of the only ones people talk about are Link's Awakening and Minish Cap and Link Between Worlds, as though nearly half of the mainline games weren't on handhelds. And now they all are, because the Switch is a handheld." And he feels like it's the same for RPGs. People only choose a select few, honestly, but what other console is best for being able to play a continuous story than a handheld? The RPG suddenly becomes a book that you take everywhere with you because you can't stop reading. And if the designers did think correctly, then it's easy to pick it up and put it down as needed. So this was originally on a video on a thing I did about the Nintendo DS and talking about some of my favorite DS games. But I think, the Switch actually, and this is one of the biggest technical advantages to the Switch to me. I don't know how it works on Steam Deck. Maybe it's the same, but the quick save, on Switch, where you just hit the power button and you pick it back up, on my ROG Ally, it doesn't exactly work like that, the way it's supposed to. And maybe it does on Steam Deck, but that is, to me, also one of the biggest things about Switch 2 is you can just power it off, you're right where you left off. And that to me was something that made a game like Breath of the Wild so cool, or a game like Octopath Traveler or any of these RPGs. It's like, oh, you just pick right up where you left off.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a lot of criticism about Nintendo remaking or porting a lot of games that you've played 20 years ago. Yeah. Yes. But we can do that anywhere.
Yeah.
We can pick up a lot of games that we might not have played or enjoyed at the time, and now we can do them anywhere in the world on the go. And I do like that comment where it's like almost like a Kindle where you can pick it up and just kind of continue on with the story for a little bit, put it down, pick it up. Like I think that is something that people often overlook about the Switch, is that especially the Switch 2. I hope they bring more old games, some of them that I've missed, especially RPGs that I can just pick up and play that I might not have at the time.
Yeah. And, you know, even like the Switch Online, right? Which I know, like, I could use, I have, like, you know, a ton of old retro handhelds, like the Mii Mini and all that stuff. And then you have the analog, you know, Pocket, right? Yep. And stuff like that. But it's just kind of different playing it on Switch. Like, actually, it was a couple of years ago, we had an ice storm and it knocked our power out for like 8 days. Sucked. But I was like, you know what? I'm finally going to sit down and play on Switch Online. I played A Link to the Past. And like, really, I was like, I'm just going to play A Link to the Past. And it was really, it was really like the first time I kind of actually sat down and played like straight through that game as its own experience. And like, I know you can play all those other things, but I don't know. It was just kind of nice. I just played it. And, you know, I know you can do save states and everything, but it's just how I experienced that game for that like few short days. And it was just such a fun thing, you know, to do. And it was the same with RPGs too, you know, like Octopath Traveler and Pokemon and Bravely Default and all this stuff. And yeah, right now I'm doing it with this, and it's like I can do it with Cyberpunk. Right. I can like just okay, turn my Switch off, and you don't even have to like save it. It's because it just does the auto save thing. Yeah, it's just such a cool way to do it, this world now with video games. And it's what I'm super looking forward to it with Switch 2.
Yeah, that'd be amazing if they could do Red Dead 2
On the go.
I know you could do it on Steam, but
you're right. It's not the same. So okay, well, cool, man, dude. As always, this was a absolute ton of fun. I know you need to get back to Death Stranding because
I do.
You're anxiously waiting to get back from that. So. You know, as always, anybody can find you anywhere on the internet at Age of Retro. You can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Games Bros. We'll have to do this again, you know, here in a couple of weeks. We can talk Donkey Kong. Hopefully my N64 analog ships it out, because we definitely need to do an N64 episode, because I know you've been doing some N64 collecting.
That'd be fun.
As well. So if you like this podcast, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe for more content, give us a review on iTunes. If you have an opinion you want shared on the show, be sure to leave a comment or send an email to boxtrekgaming@gmail.com. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
New messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.